This is an announcement. Due to reasons, Radio 1 FM is now broadcasting much more quietly than before. Hence, you must adjust your set. You must turn up the volume. Turn up the volume. Turn up the volume.
And the music isn't gentle anymore.
Because this is 29 minutes of truth from the mouth of Alan Parker, Urban Warrior.
On your side and in your ear.
Cheers. Alan says, Alan says,
what have we got? What have we got? What have we got? Nothing. When do we want it? Now.
Throat.
Normal service will be resumed.
Not be resumed. Revolution will not be televised. It's on the radio! Cheers! This is Alan Parker, Urban Warrior, speaking to you for 29 minutes of truth on Radio 1 FM. The capital of Portugal is Lisbon.
Truth. Not lies.
Why?
Lies.
Truth.
Quick test truth for you there now. I am probably the most radical left-wing person in this country. If you don't think so, well, you're probably a Nazi. So go on, take a look at yourself in the mirror. I think you'll find, if you look really carefully, you are probably wearing a suit.
Different words for fascism.
Number 211. Suits.
And you may say to yourself, what, appearing on Radio 1, Alan? That's selling out. I say, no way. If appearing on national radio, becoming rich and famous, being chased by hordes of screaming girls is what it takes to achieve realistic change in this country, then I'm willing to undergo that process. Anyway, how am I going to be achieving realistic change in this country? Well, in this programme, I'll be playing some records and also shouting.
Everybody shout now. Everybody shout,
Come on, face the facts, it's the only way. A few years ago, I'd been shouting for 10 years, and suddenly, a Prime Minister of this country resigned.
Think about it.
Now, I have with me in the studio a mate of mine, Stu.
Hello.
Who is an individual and a human being, and he should be respected for that, if nothing else.
Yeah, well, play the guitar as well.
Indeed you do. Yeah, I forgot. Now, Stu, you and me, right, we're equals, aren't we? We're the same.
Well, we're not the same.
No, okay. All right, yeah, you're quite fat. Don't mind what with your loose-fitting clothes.
I'm not fat, right? You are. Even if I am, slightly, it's not my fault. It's my glands. We've said before.
Well, stop eating so many glands, Stu.
Yeah.
Right, okay, you are fat. And that means you're fat. That means you have eaten more than your fair share of food, okay? And that is injustice. And what do we want?
Justice,
Alan. And
we want it now.
And we want it now, right. Yeah. So go and make yourself sick in the toilets. Go on, off you go. Oh. Go on.
All right.
Right, here is this. Rage Against the Machine, great song. Notice that beeping noise? That's partly bourgeois, fascist, middle-class, Nazi, government-controlled censorship. But also, I think gives it a real nice sort of rave feel as well. Now, not doing what people tell me is one of my key beliefs. However, like, not doing what people tell you, there can be problems with that. Like, because my mum found a really clever way of getting around it. She used to say to me, Alan, don't eat all your dinner. And of course, I'd have to eat it, because I'd be not doing what she told me. And that carried on. Like, I'd just come down and go, don't eat all your dinner, and I'd have to eat it. Until one day, I came down and she overstepped the mark. Because what was there on my plate? Broccoli! I tell you, I walked straight out the door. We all know what broccoli is, don't we? Just another word for caviar. And we all know what that means.
Different words for fascism.
Number 212. Caviar.
Anyway, Rage Against the Machine. Great name for a band. And a great idea as well. And I'm going to be playing tapes of various people getting angry with technological devices throughout this programme. Start us off, here's a bloke getting slightly irate with his video recorder.
Come on, play. Why don't you play or anchor forward? Do something then. What's the matter with you?
Inspirational. We can all learn from that.
Yeah, so technology, too much tech.
Yeah, and not enough knowledge of how the things work. Good knowledge. To see you back, Stu. Wipe the muck off your face. Now, what we need these days is balance, right, Stu?
Well, I can balance.
Yes,
Alan.
You can. That's what I'm saying. That is remarkable considering your weight distribution. That's not what I meant. Although obviously
do you mean,
it is
then?
Important not to fall over. No. What we need is a balanced approach,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
It's got to be two sides to everything. Here is the Velvet Underground singing Heroin.
Heroin, it's my wife, and it's my life.
It's my life.
See, look on the bright side, you know. You need a hobby, may as well be heroin.
My next door neighbour used to sell heroin.
Really?
Yeah, but she only used to sell it to friends, right?
Friends. You'd have thought, I'd have thought, like, enemies might have been more appropriate.
No.
What with the fact it kills you? Well, she had too many friends.
not really, no. She got too clever, you see. Most drug dealers, as you know, have like a cover job during the day to cover up their illegal activities. And she played a clever double bluff. Right?
Double bluff?
Yeah, what she did was her cover job was as a drug dealer, right? You'd meet her and you'd say to her, what do you do? You know, and she'd say, I'm a drug dealer. But, you know, I also deal a bit of drugs on the side as well.
Right. And what happened then?
Well, she got arrested, but only for drug dealing, not for dealing drugs as well.
Right.
So it was all, you know, that's how it worked out. Yeah.
Right, now, back to the drugs issue. On that issue, I want to say, let us remember, people of the British land, that alcohol, tobacco, coffee and tea are also drugs, and let's not underestimate the dangers they pose. Now, a bloke came up to him in the street recently, Stu. This happens a lot. He was in a really bad state, right? Obviously on something, shaking everything. Do you know what he said to me? Can you give me 20p for a cup of tea?
Right, usual.
I said, no way, mate. You don't want any more tea. Look what it's done to you.
Okay, let's see. Enter. What? Oh, don't say sort of file.
Cheers! More raging against machines there. That was a woman getting annoyed with her word processor. Now, Stu, I've got a little job for you. You take hold of this little device, right?
Yeah. Right.
And when I say, you press the button on top.
Oh, I'm not going to get electrocuted again, am I?
No, Stu, you're not going to get electrocuted. And even if you were, there would be to prove a point.
Right, okay.
Trust me, I won't make you endure pain unless there's, quite a good reason. Now, right, ready, Stu?
Yep.
The Earth is flat. Now!
Lies!
You see, that didn't hurt it?
No, it's fine.
Now, what I have there is a fibbing alarm, which I've devised. And you can use it in a conversation or generally. You hear a non-truth, you just press that button.
Yeah.
And that's what I want you to do throughout this programme, is an extra check, right, to make doubly sure that this is 29 minutes off!
Truth.
In fact, in case you're wondering, Stu here is my number two. I don't mean anything like lavatorial about that. He was born in the normal way, just like everyone else.
That's true.
Right, he's my second in command. My eyes, my ears, my mouth. In a sense.
Your mouth. What do you mean? I'm your mouth.
In the sense that he eats things that I leave on my plate. So Stu, I am Stu's brains, in effect. Now,
what?
Stu and other members of the fat community. Come on!
See? No.
We have established your obesity status.
All right. Sorry, I slipped.
Right. Now, fat people have to endure considerable prejudice. Now, but on the other hand, they deserve it. But they're not the real problem.
Them and us. Voices of them.
It happened like this. I went into the station and asked for a return to Knightsbridge, and it was £2.60. And I blew my top. I said, £2.60, that is ridiculous. You know, £2.60, to sit on a crowded train surrounded by smelly proles, yeah? Well, I'm not paying that, I said. And I walked out. Yeah, and it was then that I decided to buy the Ferrari.
Nice.
Too right, Stu. £2.60 to sit next to smelly proles. That's a bargain. I'd pay £200 to sit next to an ordinary, decent, urban, working-class proletariat person.
Well, in fact, you have, haven't you, Alan? You have.
Yeah, that's
done
right.
That.
I paid £200 and I sat there, you know, next to her. Sort of, you know, didn't want to do more than that. Not on
your first visit, anyway. No.
Anyway, I'm on the side of the dispossessed, and you know, every homeless person has their own story of how they came to be there.
Them and Us. Voices of
Us.
Well, I was sitting at home one night, rubbing my hands in front of the fire, like, you know, trying to keep warm in there. I was just thinking about toasting some crumpets, like, when my wife bursts in and starts shouting, call the fire brigade, call the fire brigade, like, you know, and then I realised we didn't have a fire. We had central heating.
And no insurance. Respect given. Well, sympathy given. Maybe not respect, exactly. They're warning us all about the dangers of fire. Now, I've been going down like the E-type rave clubs myself, trying to get it started. Not fires, change. Anyway, and I believe you have as well, Stu. Didn't some interesting incident happen to you recently?
No.
Right. Sure?
Yeah.
Not something about getting stuck, doorways, narrow.
All right, okay. They wouldn't let me in the front door, right? But it wasn't that I couldn't get through. I don't have any trouble passing through doors.
Nice.
I thought you said that was my job.
Well, okay. All right, now, calm it down. I went in one of those clubs, through the door, no problems, and the first bloke I saw, right, I went up to him to shake him by the hand. And do you know what he did? He went to do that thing where you touch fists and go, like, respect.
That's like a classic sort of confusion situation.
It was confusion, all right. Anyway, so I changed to the fist touching. By then, he's changed to shake my hand. I go back to the hand. He's got to the fist again. It's like hand, fist. We're doing it, like, 7 minutes.
Right.
But we ended up playing paper, scissors, stone.
What a moving event
it
that is.
Beautiful. You know, it was real. Anyway, I have to say about the E-type rave phenomenon, I don't particularly admire people that take drugs. I envy them. Where they get the stuff from? So I want to know. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. What am I talking?
Days of the week.
Let's kick it.
Tell me why I don't like Mondays. Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday.
Jam 69 there, not technically about a day of the week, but then again, what else do you do on a Friday? Cheers. Now Saturday. Just kidding. That's Blur with Sunday Sunday, taken from their controversial album Modern Life is Rubbish. Controversial? Well, I'm joined now by John DeVere, who is from the band Modern Life. John, what are your views?
Yeah, well, it's offensive, you know, Modern Life is Rubbish. It's slander. We're quite good.
That's very rude of you indeed, Stu.
Yeah, well, I've seen him, Alan. That's the difference between me and you.
Okay, well, maybe you're entitled.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, but not only that, you know, it's grammatically incorrect as well. Because it should be Modern Life are rubbish.
Really?
Know? Yeah, yeah.
He's rubbish, are rubbish. I'm not sure. I mean, what is correct, Stu? Any ideas?
Well,
I mean, what...
doesn't matter, they're rubbish
either
way.
What do you
usually say? Well, they usually say, your shit, get off the stage. They don't normally spell it out so much.
Yeah, it must be very unpleasant for you. We've all been there. Mm. But, basically, you're not happy with the situation, Blur slagging you off. What have you done?
We've released our own single, Blur or Rubbish.
Blur Rubbish, good, coming straight back, I like that. Well, in the interest of fairness, I'll play a bit of that for you now. Thanks for coming in, John.
No damage vibes.
It goes on like that a bit. It's awful. Anyway, still could see a bit of debate within the music industry. Here is a letter I have received.
Dear Alan, I'm a radical left-wing woman, but I have a problem. I have a peculiar birthmark on my left breast, which is in the shape of a swastika, and I find this very restrictive, as it means I cannot go topless at anti-Nazi league meetings. Yours sincerely, Judith Anson.
Right, bit of a problem, here's my suggestion. Get a felt-tip pen, draw a large British Wales symbol on the other breast, right, and an equal sign between the two breasts, so that your chest will then read, British Rail equals Nazis. Problem solved.
Radical problems. Radical solutions.
And you might even get a bit of work stripping at SWP meetings. Actually, I was considering joining the SWP, Socialist Works Party, myself recently, right? You know why, Stu? Because all the posters. March against racism, march against fascism, march against the Tories and that. And I thought, okay, yeah, you're against all them things, but what are you in favour of? And I've worked
good
it out.
Good question, yeah.
It's marching.
Marching,
yeah. And we all know what that means, don't we, Stu?
No, what?
Different words for fascism.
Number 213. Marching.
Neither do I. People going on holiday, flying off to so-called destinations that they can rest or get a different perspective on the world. You know what I used to do if I want a different perspective on the world?
What do you do if you want a different perspective
on the world?
I
run out the front door, spin round and round as fast as I can. Right, that gives me a different perspective. And not only that, provides amusement for passers-by and all.
Congratulations.
Holidays, right? Holidays. Hitler used to go on holiday, right? And okay, so he took an army with him, but that's the only difference.
Them and us. Voices of them.
Well, it's all a question of choice. If you choose to be a member of the urban proletariat, then I think you've got to expect a bit of a pressing now and again.
No! You don't just suddenly wake up one morning and decide to be a member of the urban proletariat. You know,
it's a
gradual decision over many months, right? And even then it's a long process, right? It's learning the accent, buying the clothes.
Right. Well, anyway. What's next on the agenda for change then, Alan?
Yeah, all right. World War II. Yeah, right. Actually, there's a lot of ignorance about the Second World War.
What do you remember about the war? Loads of tanks going into this forest.
There were 12 blokes and they were all convicts. They could get their freedom by killing loads of high-up German officers.
Lots of blokes trying to get out of somewhere, and one bloke's in charge, and he tells people that they should hide earth in boxes that they jump over outside. They tunnel out of things.
Well, I didn't see it, actually.
Why not?
I think I was out.
Who won the war?
Chris Eubank.
It's Germany. Yeah, it's Germany.
Churchill.
Oh, it was a draw. I think it was a draw.
To confront that, I have been taking a look myself. Now, I haven't read any books on the subject, no way. Not reading books. My account is based solely on word of spoken mouth and a little bit of shrewd deduction and all.
World War II. The Second World War.
It all started when Hitler came to power in Germany. Sadly, the German people didn't see through his disguise and realise what Hitler really was, a Nazi. Well, there weren't any clues, mind you. I mean, he did tend to walk around in a Nazi uniform, for example. You thought might have given it away, you know, some sharp eyes might have spotted it. Anyway, Hitler and his mates wanted Lebensraum,
which is a dry white wine that you can only get in some parts of Eastern Europe.
Right, so they started invading bits of it.
What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing. And I'll be saying it again a bit later.
Early on in the war, the British High Command completely underestimated the strength of the German forces because they heard the Germans, or Jerrys as they were affectionately known, were going to attack using large numbers of pansies. But in fact, these turned out to be panzers, which were much harder to deal with than just sort of flowers.
And rationing was introduced. Strict limits were set on the amount of stuff you could have. Rationing that is still with us today.
So now it's all done automatically by the infamous cash point machines.
One of the worst effects of the war was that all the iron railings around parks were taken away and melted down. That and the millions of innocent civilians getting killed, those were the two worst things.
But also, presumably, quite a lot of guilty civilians were killed on the bus side. Swings and roundabouts. Then Coventry was completely destroyed by bombs, which the special sung about. This time. But foolishly, after the war, the government decided to rebuild Coventry. And if you look on a map, I'm afraid you'll find that it's still there today. I'm a hero. I'm holding on for a hero till the end of the night. He's gotta be strong and he's gotta be fast and he's gotta be fresh from the fight. I need a hero. The war threw up many heroes.
Churchill, Union Jack Jackson, ordinary people, women, a bloke who got an elephant out over the Alps, and some other prisoners who stole a whole train.
And another hero was Douglas Bader, who flew up to attack the German bombers despite having no legs. But with a plane, mind you. I mean, he had an aircraft, so it wasn't that impressive, really. Anyway, Douglas Bader's one of the few, right? They're the Spitfire pilots who did a really superb job of preventing our cities being destroyed by German bombs. Apart from Coventry, of course, which understandably they weren't that bothered about. Other heroes? Jimmy Percy, lead singer of Sham 69. Tell us the truth. Don't let us down. Technically, he wasn't involved in the war, not having been born, but you can't blame him for that. But he's a general all-round hero, so I'd stick him on the list. And actually, in one sense, he did contribute to the war, sort of retrospectively. By forming Sham 69 in 1977, he made the whole war worthwhile, in a way. But generally, it's never in any war simply a question of good guys and bad guys. There's a lot of people who are neither good nor bad.
Yeah, sort of wishy-washy in the middle people.
And that's right, and it's these people who later went on to form the Eurythmics in the early 80s. Absolutely nothing. Many unusual weapons were used. Britain trained animals to fight the war, and there was a whole squadron of wrens whose job it was probably to fly over and peck at the Nazis, and they were very, very effective indeed.
And there's been a squadron of wrens in the army ever since.
Right, and one of our best secret weapons was known simply as Vera Lynn. Well, be blue. She was wrong, of course, it was wrens. Wrens flying out to do a bit more pecking at the Nazis. Now, her songs didn't help morale, but they certainly did inspire people to get out and do some fighting and get the war over as quickly as they could. Oh, baby. Then there were the war babies, sung about by Tom Robinson there.
These were babies that were specially adapted for use in war.
We'll meet again, Vera Lynn used to sing, and it was that threat that kept people out fighting long after the war was over in some cases. It wasn't that she was a bad singer, it's just that without drums, bass and electric guitar, there's not much you can achieve in music. The Germans had weapons too. They experimented with huge airships called Zeppelins, which they filled with lead. And these weren't very effective, but they did make a fantastic clanging sound when they landed.
Which is where the band Led Zeppelin got their name from.
And a lot of their tunes and all. The war ended when Hitler, in his bunker, suddenly came to his senses, realised what he was, a Nazi, and obviously killed himself. And so, in the end, we won the war.
Yeah, and the one before that as well.
That's right, Stuart. That's two World Wars and one World Cup. So well done to us. What are you doing, Stu?
I'm looking at a CD.
Well, don't try and eat it again, will you? What happened last time?
I didn't try and eat that. I got caught in my mouth, that's all. And
well, what was it doing in your mouth as well?
Breathing.
Anyway, pass it here, right?
All right.
Now, let's put it on, actually. Kill. Your.
Catch a load of this.
Kill your television! Hey!
Excuse me, sir. What do you think you're doing?
Kill your television. Killing my television. Obviously.
Well, it's not your television. It's ours until you pay for it, sir.
Well, I have paid for it, Uber and Fear. Right, here's my receipt. You can have it, all right?
Well, aren't you going to take it home?
What's, take it home and smash it up there. What's the point in that? You're mad. See ya. Wait.
Miriam,
kill your...
Me, raging against machines there. Now, Stu, what is television?
A non-food?
Mm-mm, no way.
Television, the drug of a nation. Breeding ignorance and feeding radiation on television. The drug of the nation. Breeding ignorance and feeding radiation.
On the screen is an address.
Oh, that's a great song. You know, I was singing that to myself once at this rave.
You got in all right, then?
Yeah, wide doors that time.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was in the toilets going, television. Drug of the nation, you know.
Right.
And this bloke came up to me and was really avid. And he said, what's that? Is that new? I'll try some of that.
He thought it was a drug.
Can you get some? He thought it was a drug. So he kept on and on and on and on. So in the end...
He was out of it.
I had to sell him a television.
Shame.
Yeah. But at least I stopped him trying to swallow it.
Yeah. Well, fair play to you, mate. Well done.
Truth. I am proud to say at this point that over 30% of my friends are from ethnic minority backgrounds.
A third.
Over a third, my...
Alan, 2, then divide by 3, is it? 2, then divide by 3.
All right, half. Okay, one of my friends...
One.
Right. Stu, at least I've got friends.
I have got friends.
Who, Stu? Name the names.
David. Eric.
Yeah.
Mrs. Langton. The family.
Stu.
And Phil.
Stu.
Phil.
Those aren't friends, those are shopkeepers. Stu, those are the people that sell you your food. All right, mate? Truth.
At least I haven't got 1 inch of prick.
Sorry?
I said your penis is 1 inch long. 1 inch long.
Right.
Lies.
It's not a lie, right? You have got a small prick. You've got
I haven't, right? And even if I had, it doesn't matter, right? That's just oppression and prejudice, right? Because whatever, it doesn't matter, right? Well, size isn't important, right? It's what you do with it that counts.
Well, you could pick locks with yours, couldn't you?
We've all got to stand together, united. Stu, I said united, not untied, right? Not being contradictory now. But you know, it's not always easy to get people to unite. Stop struggling. Right, now, I was in this lift once, it was very crowded, right, and suddenly this bloke in the corner pipes up, and he says, oi, who farted? I said, we all did. At some point in our lives. So let's not start apportioning blame for individual incidents, okay? And he said it was you, was it? Because he didn't understand. Cheers. Thanks to comrades Alid Evans, Helga Brindle, Alistair McGowan, and Stuart Lee, who I'll be releasing soon. Good night, people of Britain. Don't go back to your old values. Cheers.
There will be a recording of 29 Minutes of Truth on the 3rd of May at 8 o'clock in the evening at the Red Rose, Finsbury Park, London. If you would like free tickets, then call 071-765-5049. That's 071-765-5049. If the lines are busy, call again, but do call.